You want to be British and Japanese, so is that Brapanese or is that Jiddish?
That's Brapanese, yeah.
I'm gonna say that, Tim, I think you actually want to be Jiddish. I think you want to be more Japanese than you want to be British.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I'm gonna put the Japan first.
Yes, that's a good point.
I didn't even write this question down, but I'm going to be really dumb because I don't think I even know. It wasn't on your website or your bio or anything about the name of the band. And then I get to ask the next best question, which I'm sure you know what it's going to be. But
how did you get the name of the band?
Well, no, I've got a better one after that.
Okay.
So what is the name? Yeah, tell me about the name of the band first, and then I'll ask the dumb question.
It's an inside joke between the two of us.
But it's not so inside anymore now, is it?
No, it's not. You can find it all over the internet now because we've told the story.
I didn't dig that deep.
What's that?
Yeah, are you insulting his research skills?
No, I'm not.
I went on Google for the first three pages, and then I got bored.
Well, yeah. It's a pretty boring story, actually, but it's better in audio form than written form, so at least we're doing this on the radio. Well, Tim and I met when we were 11 years old at summer camp, and
right.
We had this art teacher who he was probably like 17, maybe 18.
By the way, summer camp in Chicago.
In northern Michigan, actually.
So summer camp after winter has got to be like Party City.
It is pretty awesome, but it was a very nerdy summer camp. It was like it was like an arty nerdy camp, you know.
Did Arty Nerdy run the camp? It sounds like a good name for a camp director, Arty Nerdy.
I never met him.
This is the way the interviews go with me, so get used to it. Okay. It's just the way it is.
We're coming up to speed. Don't worry.
Never met Mr. Nerdy.
Yeah, never met Mr. Nerdy. So there's a stoner kid who was our art teacher, and he would sit you in front of you would be sitting there working, like drawing a still life or something, and he would come over in his like haze of like marijuana and body odor and be like, "All right, dude, I want you to you need to touch your paper and then touch the still life, but with your mind, and then draw the difference." And you of course all the while are just sitting there drawing. I mean, you've been drawing for the last half hour, and he's like would hang over you with his sort of his like monster hair and his like bubble of smell, and just kind of like sit over your shoulder and keep going like, "Okay, man," because okay, and you draw and you draw and you draw, and eventually you go, "Okay, go." And of course you had no idea what to do because you'd been going for a long time.
Yeah.
And it's not, I told you it's not funny, but it was, but to a 12-year-old it was hilarious. And so,
no, but I just thought that an alternate band name, because I was going to ask you what some of them were, but Bubble of Smell you mentioned in there.
Yeah, we were going to be either OK Go or Bubble of Smell, and OK Go has fewer letters, so it was cheaper to make a
poem. Were you really going to be Bubble of Smell?
No.
No.
Sorry.
Anything you were going to be that really, really stunk?
Well, you know,
your first band name was. That one I know.
Yeah, that was bad.
That wasn't so great, but was there anything in between that you came up with?
We were going to be the Okegos. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
The Okegos.
The Okegos.
Which is a small island in...
Yeah, but everyone kept... Whenever we said that, everyone said, "What?" And so we decided Okegos.
Yeah, there's a lot of the bands, I suppose, and sometimes it works, you know.
We also, if you remember, were going to be the Stripes, and it's a good thing
that's right.
Because this was before at least we knew of the White Stripes. It was probably 1998. They may have had an EP out at that point, I'm not sure. But
yeah, I can't remember.
You had LA last night. Was LA the opening night of the tour officially, or?
No, we've been on the road for about 2.5 weeks.
So are you tired yet?
No.
So I read you've added a new guitarist, Andy, for the tour. Did the other guitarist, well, we know he didn't combust because we're talking, but
right. But
were you not loud enough and you figured you just needed that power, you know, power guitar thing going because you're not loud enough already?
We're going to add one guitarist per tour until the end of the year. Not the calendar year, but the year that starts when our record comes out, which is July. So we're probably going to have like 20, 25 guitarists in the band.
So you could do the Spinal Tap thing, and you could have them blow up.
We might, but we're going to write new lines for each one of them. So they'll all, I mean, obviously we're not going to kick anyone out, so it's just going to be 25 guitarists and us. And so I think it's going to be important. It's going to be important to have each of those 25 lines in there at some point. I mean, maybe at some point they could become disposable and we could start blowing some of them up.
It's going to be gigantic.
Nice.
Gigantic.
Okay, just to prove I did go deep enough on Google.
Yes.
Your Japanese fan site is under construction. when I interviewed Matthew Sweet, he told me that he was so into his fans that he made an album just for them that was never released here. You ever think of
Japanese fans?
Yeah, he did an album that literally was only released in Japan, and the only way you can get it is to get it from a Japanese Amazon or one of those sites.
That's a great idea. I would love to do something like that.
Our second album was
Swedish fans.
Was it
for our Swedish fans?
Yeah, I would definitely do it for our Swedish fans.
Yeah.
Although our Swedish fans are few in number at this point.
I know.
We have a lot of Swedish friends, but I don't know if we could call them fans because they've never heard our music.
That's true. Well, I'd make a record for our Swedish friends.
Yeah. We did, you know, we are technically our second record never came out because we did make 12 songs, an 8.5 minute record that has 12 sub 30 second songs.
Wow.
Yeah, and that we could release in Japan only, maybe.
They'd probably love that. They'd love that.
They're short people.
They're short people, and also, if it's in English, it would be enough for them to translate, but not too much for them to commit harikari.
Good point.
Good point.
As they're trying to figure out what the heck you're saying. You obviously are good buddies with the Johns. We've talked to them quite a bit on our show.
And the way we met them, actually, we opened for them. A friend of ours who was working for their booking agent. In fact, it wasn't even our friend. She wasn't our friend at the time. But so this woman in Los Angeles worked for their booking agent, had heard us and needed someone for three shows, and we just got lucky and got the shows. And John Flansburgh came out, like, I gave him a CD of me covering one of his songs, and it convinced him to come see us open for them, because normally, you know, they go eat dinner while the opening bands are playing, so they wouldn't have seen us had it not been for the CD. So he came, saw us, and loved the show, and he wanted to be our manager, but Jamie, his manager, convinced him that he was too busy to manage bands, and he should take him, and now they fight over us like little girls.
You also talk about upscale rock and roll. You have a lot of good friends at NPR. I mean, Ira Glass writes the bio on your website. What percentage of your audience do you think has advanced degrees?
I think
how could you tell?
Over half.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
I'd say most of the...
I'll be checking that out tonight. We'll find out.
Yeah.
Most of the 14-year-old girls in our audience have advanced degrees, which is, that's the weird thing, is that not only do most of them have advanced degrees, but most of them are not even old enough to have gotten out of high school traditionally yet, you know?
But they have advanced degrees. Amazing!
PhDs, masters.
People who are so accelerated that, like, by age 10, they've finished their BAs, you know?
To take a complete left turn, how weird do you think Buddy Holly would think it is that one of the ways to get your music known is Madden NFL?
Buddy Holly would be like, Madden who? You know?
Yeah.
I think he'd think it's pretty weird, but he also wouldn't know he wouldn't know John Madden. He also wouldn't know that John Madden is, I think, the primary spokesperson for the turducken. Do you know about this? The turducken?
He took this question a completely different turn. Good job. Well done.
Well, I mean, you asked about Madden.
He didn't go back to the 50s. He just, like, took it like, well, if Buddy Holly, he wouldn't know Madden because Madden wasn't born. Well, actually, Madden was born then, but...
Madden was definitely born, but Madden was not championing the turducken, which is where you know this question has to go, is a turducken. It's a chicken stuffed inside a duck, stuffed inside a turkey, and then deep fried as a whole. And John Madden apparently...
He looks like he's eating a lot of turducken, doesn't he?
Yeah. I've never had a turducken, but I think about the turducken all the time, and I think about John Madden, because apparently he won't fly, so he drives everywhere, and I guess he's estranged from his family.
Yes, that's very true.
And he drives around in a camper from show to show and stuff,
right,
buying turduckens, and like...
Turduckens.
It's just incredible. Like, John Madden is kind of like, he's like the Bard of our times, you know, runs around the country reporting on sports and buying turduckens and sort of bringing entertainment to the people, you know?
I bet John Madden has gout.
I bet John Madden has gout, probably.
Yeah.
He has meat boots.
With his diet.
When you meet someone who has never heard of your music and they ask you to describe it, what do you say?
We usually say something like Powerball, you know, or like multi-ball, really. Like, like, I mean, you know, that moment when all the balls are, you got the 14 balls in the, you know, they're all lined up behind the thing in the pinball machine, and then you finally, you unleash all the balls. And I mean, it's usually only three balls in multi-ball, but I actually have played one pinball machine that had 14-ball multi-ball. And when there's 14 balls running around on your pinball machine, I think that's kind of the effect, you know? That and maybe something with a trampoline.
Well, there is no, and I say this as a compliment, as I had it blasting on the way here driving too fast, which you suddenly put your foot on the gas.
Yeah,
when you have that album in your car.
Acceleration music, maybe that's what we should start calling it.
But it's what's amazing to me about it is how, and I say this in a positive way, how dense and lush it all is, And yet, the guitars are there, the synthesizer's there, the drums are there. It's all, I mean, it's pretty, in a good way, and by the way, you're talking to the guy, I think that the 1910 Fruit Cup Company, next to the Raspberries, next to the Cars, are all would all kind of be proud that this exists.
Not a bit, although I will say that our new record is a lot less slick, actually. It's still very pop, but it's a lot less, it's a lot rawer and more energetic. So it's, so I mean, our first record is very, very slick, but the, and I think our sound is still kind of, I mean, it's, you know, it's melodic and gleamy at times, but little less candy ass this time around.
Yeah. And I'm gonna get there at full throttle in another question, but is it true, this is the National Enquirer time, is it true that you really recorded your first album in its entirety and then re-recorded the entire thing? And have you burned the original tapes, or will they come out posthumously?
That is almost true. It is true that we recorded a full 12-song album, and half of those songs made it onto our new record. Not our new record now, but the record that came out as our first major label album. And of those half, we definitely re-recorded four of them. I think two of them we kept parts. We redid drums and we redid
But a few of them were very, very different, were they not?
Yeah, no, yes. There's a few songs that are wildly different. And the original versions of them, some of them are available as EPs that we sell at shows and online at okgo.net. And the other ones probably will not come out until we are deserving of some sort of celebratory box set, if we are ever deserving of some such thing. So.
There you go. Box sets, something to, although there are some box sets that I would venture to say some people's careers really did not need.
Oh, I think there are a lot of them.
In fact, there's a ton of them.
Yeah, I basically, if we are ever to get to box set territory, some of these things would be funny for people to listen to, but they're not great songs.
So. I think the only band deserving of a box set is Menudo.
Yeah, that's the only one. They never got a good box set, did they?
No, I think they did.
Did they get a good box set?
Yeah.
Because I have that one, but it just didn't cover enough for me.
Oh really? Okay. Yeah. I think they're finally coming out with one that covers like the late 90s.
We could spend, you're joking, but we could spend hours on box sets that are just total. Total.
Yeah.
Or just greatest hits.
I mean, spend time talking
you
about
know
Menudo.
What's really sad is actually when an artist deserving of a good box set puts out a crappy one, like Prince, one of my all-time favorite artists. I think that 3-CD set is tripe. The sequencing is, for some reason, all of these great songs just sound like a bunch of kind of like cheap 80s hits or something. Like, it doesn't, the albums from whence those songs come are so great as albums.
That's because he really made, Prince is definitely one of the people who made albums. He knew the concept. You know, you listen to Controversy, you listen to whatever, it's a concept album. Without being a concept album, he spent a lot of time on sequencing and making it fall together.
But I think you could still put together a box set that had some continuity that way. I think the Zeppelin box set, for instance, totally perfect continuity. It's four CDs. You know, it's a lot of crap. But I mean, well, not crap, but it's a lot of songs, and it still has some sort of like, it hangs together. Whereas that Prince thing, I just like, I can't listen to it for some reason. It's like it something about the way the songs are put together. It's just like, it's not, it makes them sound cheap.
And I don't even know why this reference comes to mind, except that I do actually play Simon and Garfunkel, and they did. You know what they did with their box sets? They said to heck with it. They just did a box set of their six or seven best albums, and they kept them in their entirety. And that was the box set.
Yeah,
that's kind of a good idea.
They also they have that. What's that? That good friends or whatever.
Yeah,
that one.
Right.
That one's not
friends,
too bad.
Yeah.
It is definitely a box set. But one of the nice things is that it's also that whole first disc of good for old friends or whatever it is that has all the acoustic like Bleecker Street and stuff.
So you recorded your new album in Sweden with Hottie producer. I can't pronounce it, but I'll try. Tore, is it Tor? It's Tor, right? Tor Johansson.
Depends on what part.
English. Tor.
English speakers say he. Everyone says Tor if they're English speakers. Brits and Americans all say Tor, but Swedes say something along the lines of like Tor.
Tor.
The Southerners do.
Yeah.
Tor.
And then the Northerners are more like Tora.
Yeah.
But it's hard. There's more a Tora.
See, I started with Tore, so I'm just going for a Brazilian soccer guy.
Yeah, well,
I was way off.
He's nothing like that.
Well, he kind of looks like he could be a soccer star.
A soccer star,
but not Brazilian. No, he's very white. Very white.
But I mean, he's a big deal. Franz Ferdinand, the band of the millennium, of course.
Yes.
We make fun of them on the show just because I'm about to go to South by Southwest a week from now, and the Franz Ferdinand show, I think there were 300 people from the press that were duking it out to get in, and people were cursing. It's like, I'm sorry, I'm from Rolling Stone, you know I'm from NME, you know I'm from, and nobody got in.
Right.
The kids that stood online for 3 hours got in. So it's not that we don't like them on the show, it's just that hype is not always worthy of music, and it's a little insane. But two questions. Did you have to really go all the way to Sweden? And did anyone in the band or anyone you know get a sex change or have great sex while they were there?
Did anyone in the band not have a sex change?
Radio. This is great. You guys, by the way, they did a great job on...
Dan, actually, Dan didn't get a sex change.
Dan did not, no, but the rest of us did.
I think I'm the only person who had an even number of sex changes, so I'm back to where I started.
Back to normal.
Yeah. Andy, I can't remember how many sex changes Andy had.
I think he had 7.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Anyway,
this is sick, but anyway. But I asked the damn question, so.
We did have to go that far. For a couple reasons. He will only work there because he has a young child and doesn't want to leave. And
I can relate to that.
He also works with a group of people who I think his sound really has to do with the group of people he works with, you know, in the studio he works in. So we wanted to go there.
Cool. Does the album have a name yet?
I think we're going to call it Oh No.
A silence has entered the Swedish American Hall.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually, that record is kind of about little disasters. And it's just
But I like it. It's short and it'll fit on a label really well. And in iTunes, you'll be able to see the whole thing. It won't say,
dot, 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 dot. Yeah.
It's a problem with computers. You know, you try to name your CDs and stuff. And, you know, it's like Bridge Over Trouble. What?
Yeah.
That's all you get.
Yeah.
You know, in a God of Deva. It's like.
So we were telling you about tour, right?
Oh, yeah. I think that's where we were. I don't know how we.
So his sound, I think, has a lot to do with his studio. So it was we wanted to go there and work with him there. And we also really wanted to get, you know, somewhere between 6,000 and 10,000 miles away from Los Angeles. And
what a concept.
Yeah. And it was really good, actually. Our label didn't talk to us at all, actually. We basically,
well, that's great. So that the people in the Needle building, you know, they couldn't transmit quite as, you know, major label-y there, and couldn't pop by and say, hey guys, how's the recording going?
Yeah, it's really hard also even to find a producer, an American producer, who doesn't have some bone of radio readiness and it's like there's a sort of paranoia about whether or not things are going to be mainstreamish enough, and it's like it goes against making music that's...
We need 50 rotations a week, and it's got to be there, and it's got to do the demo, and FMQB's got to blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I know. Believe me, I know.
Right. Well, and a time when there's not... I mean, it's funny, because right now there really isn't a dominant format for rock and roll anyways. I mean, there's not one thing. I mean, even 5-10 years ago, there was one sound that was going to sell, and so people were trying to funnel you into it all the time. Now there's nothing to funnel towards anyways, so so it's weird when you go into a studio and someone's sort of like, yeah, that's good, but I don't know if the kids will get it, kind of. And it's just, you know, good music is good music. So,
well, yeah, you guys had the loop and you had top 40, you know, and you had a mix of those things, right? And that's the way it was at. Now, what's different? You alluded to it, but what is really different about the album stylistically? Any glockenspiels?
No.
Although there's some vibes.
Yeah. Okay, vibes.
There's some
are cool.
vibes. And there was actually, there may be a glockenspiel on that. Remember when we were piling?
I was joking, and here we go.
There, we were piling up sort of plinky instruments for this one song called Maybe This Time, and there might be a glockenspiel.
I think it's only vibes.
Is it only vibes?
I am almost sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
There were glockenspiels in the first record, weren't there?
There were a lot of glockenspiels.
There was Treacherous Friends had glockenspiels, and it's tough, but that never
that never made it though. Yeah.
But that's on our EP. There's an EP.
But all kidding aside, stylistically, is if you had to just do the one sentence of where you wanted to take it, because it's kind of a dumb thing to ask. It always is going to, well, you know, we wanted to advance the sound, take the band a little further.
I had a buzzword for our record, which was outrageous.
More outrageous.
More outrageous.
He wanted things to be legendary and outrageous.
Yeah.
And he by legendary he meant good too. He didn't mean that he wanted it to become.
No, I understand. Legendary. There are very few legendary albums out there. There's legendary songs these days, but there are very few albums that end to end really hold up. Yeah. Almost none.
This.
So we live in a singles world.
Yeah.
Once again.
Well, one of the things we wanted to do was make a much more focused record. I think our first record read a little bit like a mixtape of ideas. You know, it was kind of all over the place because it was sort of the greatest hits of 20 years of writing. You know, I mean, anyone's first album is like, oh, remember that song I wrote back? And you could just sort of pick your best. This one was, you know, 6 months of concerted writing, and it really has a sound, you know. And I also, after the release of our first record, I was sort of reconsidering what we had done and realized that, like, all of my favorite albums actually are really concise that way. It's like there's two levels. There's the Purple Rain and Sgt. Pepper's level, where you can go all over the place because you're such an MF genius that you can. And then that's, you know, that's 1% of my favorite albums. And then the next 99% are...
Then there's the Cars' first album, which just absolutely was a sound, definitive sound, held together. There was not a bad track on the thing.
Yeah.
There's not a bad track on there, right. And it just held together.
Or one time.
Any,
yeah, one
any of the Pixies records sound that way to me, I think. You know, like, there's, I mean, most of my favorite records, Ziggy Stardust even sounds that way to me, you know, and that's a record that sort of spans a lot of musical ideas, but it still sounds like
it's
one
got a
thing,
sound, you know? Though. Yeah. No, I think that is the way it should be, and people don't get it anymore.
Yeah.
So, what is the strangest audience call out or thing that's happened at a gig? What's like the weirdest thing that you've ever seen that you were kind of like, I never thought in rock and roll this.
Someone just tried to buy Damien last night.
Someone did try to purchase me last night.
Yeah.
Purchase you.
Yeah.
Elaborate.
They just said how much for you, and and I mean, you know, I think that it was supposed to be sort
did
of.
You, did they want it by the pound? What did this person look like?
There were two short Asian women.
Maybe over there, you still can, you know, the concubine thing. So what I want to do is make an OK Go sandwich, and basically two of your songs are the bread.
Right.
And then you can put in as many fillings as you want of anything you've always wanted to hear together on the radio. And I can tell you right now, my audience would tell you that some of the things that I've had to, if I don't have it, that I've had to dig up have been pretty incredible, but we've never failed.
All right. This town ain't big enough.
You guys can switch off on this.
You pick the bread, though, right?
No, you pick the bread.
Oh.
Now, you have to pick two of your songs, and unless you're willing to slip me something from the new album, I guess it'll have to be from the first album, unless you want to slip me one of those EPs that's got something on it that people can't normally hear, and that's your choice.
Let's...
Do you have to start with ours?
You have to start and finish.
Oh, sorry, finish.
Let's start, if we're doing, just for the sake of not playing something off the record, because, you know, presumably, it sounds like you have a very intelligent listenership. If they like our record, if they know our record and like it, they've got it. If they don't like our record, why right. beat them over the head with it? We'll start with What to Do, the EP version.
Yes.
Which you'll get me.
Yes. Yeah, we'll give you a copy of it tonight. It's a song from our first album, but it is it's an earlier recording of it. Do you want to try to give him a copy of the Cure cover?
Yes, I would love to do that.
We did it.
Have it. I'll take it.
Does that count as the other piece of?
Oh no! As long as it's OK Go, it doesn't matter what it is. I'd rather do what you just described.
Okay.
Most definitely.
Great.
All right. So I don't know if it's even legal, but we have. But we will end with a Cure cover that we that was never released. And in between, I think we should start with This Town Ain't Big Enough for the Both of Us by Sparks.
Eaten by the Monster of Love and Angst in My Pants. It's big on my show.
Yeah, right. They're incredible.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Life's a Gas by T-Rex.
Oh,
boy. Speaking of box sets, there's a great British Mark Bolan. I think it's 3 CD sets. Incredible.
Then, if we're going that direction, yeah. Little Willie by this, or I guess it's just Sweet.
My audience is just going to think I bribed you because you're doing my playlist too.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
Absolutely. Right.
Well, if it's your playlist, then we can.
No, but keep
Little
going.
Willie.
No,
okay, Little Willie by Sweet. You're up.
Awesome.
I'm up. How about Catch by The Cure?
There you go. Yeah.
Okay, that's a good move. That's a good move.
It's turning into a chess game.
Oh, you know what? Fucking. So Into You, Atlanta Rhythm Section.
Oh, wow.
You know, I pull out that album time and time again for the Friday show, and I keep thinking, can I do it? Can I do it? And then I do it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that one...
But I don't play Imaginary Lover, however.
How about, okay, So Into You by Atlanta Rhythm Section, then So Into You by Shudder to Think.
There you go. Ooh, we're getting themey here. Not anything else? Pull a couple out of the box that no one would suspect.
Johnny and Mary by Robert Palmer.
Oh,
yeah, that's really good.
Yeah.